Well, good afternoon, and welcome. There is something that sounds like it's going to explode behind me. I don't know what that is, but if these are our last few moments, I'm glad I spent them with you. But welcome. For those of you who are with us for the first time, I'm really excited to have you with us and to join us. Did you guys have a great July 4th? Okay, that's what I expected. Good. That means you did have a good July 4th. If you had a lot of energy, then you probably didn't have a good July 4th. But since it's a little subdued, you're probably a little tired coming back. But we had a great time yesterday, and my family, my sister's in from California, so we got to spend some time with them and just to be able to celebrate. And then we get to come together today and just continue celebrating just the amazing things that God's done in our lives, the amazing things that God has given us. And again, if today's your first time with us, I want to explain. You've walked into the end of something that we call a series. And when we're talking about a series, basically it's 6 to 4 weeks where we're focusing in on a passage, or we're focusing in on a truth that God has taught us about who He is and how He works, or who we are and how we relate to Him. And for the past couple of weeks, what we've been doing is that we've been focusing in on this question, and specifically as it pertains to this book, as it pertains to the Scriptures. And asking ourselves, okay, is it possible for us to, rather than coming to this book and being intimidated by it, and if you're honest, if you've ever tried to read through God's Word, systematically read through God's Word, for all of us, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you believe, at some point you've come to the point where you've thought to yourself, man, this book is crazy. And not crazy like good, but crazy confusing. And so what we've been doing for the past few weeks is we've been saying, okay, is it possible for us, rather than being intimidated by this book, rather than being confused by this book, is it possible for us to actually begin to come to it with excitement? And maybe if we change the way that we interact with it, maybe if we change the way the questions that we ask as we approach it, maybe we could actually get to the point where we are excited about this book, and excited about how we're interacting with God in it. And so the past few weeks, what we've been doing is just kind of working through that and looking at how rather than keeping the Bible at a distance and kind of reading it as a textbook, how we can jump into it and how we can become almost obsessed with observation and looking at and not shying away from the questions, but actually asking the questions, diving into those questions and becoming obsessed with observation, what's happening and what's the context. Context is crucial. And how do we understand what's happening around it? How does that filter into what we see in this passage? And then we moved on from that and looked at, then you look at interpretation and how do we immerse ourselves in it? So again, rather than looking at it from a distance, how do we ask the question of, okay, what did it feel like to be in the midst of this story? You can totally walk on stage, dude, because I can't, So don't mind the guy in the blue striped shirt. He makes everything happen here. But how do we immerse ourselves in the story and ask ourselves this question about how did it feel? How did it feel to be a disciple, a follower of Christ in the midst of this moment? How was it to hear this for the very first time? We've been walking through this as it pertains to the book of Acts, but at the same time, many of you who are on our Bible reading plan are reading through the book of Romans. And it's different, because in the book of Acts, it's kind of like, what did it feel like to be this character in the story? In the book of Romans, you're asking yourself a little bit different question of, what was it like to be in Rome, the center of the known world, really, to be able to be in Rome and hear this letter written to you from Paul, and this letter's breaking down so much of what you know about the world and what you think about the world. And so how do you really immerse yourself in it? And then we moved on and started looking at application and, okay, is there more to this than just the rights and the wrongs? Is there more to this than just the commands? And what are the other things that we can begin to look for? So we saw that we can look for tensions to identify with, the tensions that others experience, that we experience, and how God interacted with those tensions. And we looked at examples to follow. We looked at promises that we can cling to and truths that God is calling us to believe and change the way that we think about Him and the world around us. And as we've been walking through this, man, it has been incredible. I think this may be one of the best series that we've walked through together as a family, to be able to hear the change that's happening in people's lives, primarily the fact that so many people are beginning to actually enjoy engaging God in His Word. And for the very first time in so many people's lives, the Spirit is using this tool. The Scriptures tell us that this is the sword of the Spirit. In other words, it's a tool that the Spirit uses in our lives to instruct us and guide us and teach us. And that's happening in so many different lives. And so even as we come to this series, we come to the end, and there's a part of me that says, man, I just want to keep going with this and keep building on this. But the truth is that we are building on this. And as we come to the end, I want for you to understand that this is not the end of this conversation for us as a church family. This is the beginning. As a matter of fact, a couple weeks ago, we introduced the growth path. And the growth path, what it does is it really walks you through how to be able to move on from what we've been talking about. Because a lot of the growth path builds on this. As we're stepping into one another's lives and trying to help each other find our way back to God, a lot of what we're doing on that growth path, it builds on what we've been talking about. And so as you walk out of here, we have a class that's a part of Amplify called Foundations, where you can continue learning, okay, what are the things that I should be looking for, and how do I build God's Word into my life on a daily basis? Beyond that, some of the other things that we're really excited to tell you about. At Amplify, not only do we have foundations, but then we have book studies. And I'm really excited about this, guys, because we have three different types of book studies that we've been developing and that we are developing here at Hoboken Grace. One is in Amplify, where you're going to be exposed to all sorts of different literature types throughout God's Word. To be able to look at, okay, how do I interact with wisdom literature? And how do I interact with the Gospels or the books that are talking and teaching us about Jesus Christ's life? How do I interact with the letters to the churches that I see in the New Testament and these different literature types? And what we want to do at Amplify is expose you to them. Not all of them, but expose you to each of these different types so you can learn how to begin to study it and the questions to ask and the way to walk through it. In addition to that, we have our Sunday morning studies that take place in two semesters each year to be able to walk you through the story of God's Word, for you to be able to see the narrative and hear the names. I remember my friend came to know Christ a couple years ago, and so I told him what I'd heard my whole life. You came to know Christ. You need to start reading the book of John. So he started to read the book of John, and he came back to me with a face that many of you have experienced, a face of complete confusion. He's like, I'm reading through the book of John, but it keeps talking about Abraham and Moses. Who are these people? And he has no concept of the story. And for some of you, that's where you are. You have no church background, so you're coming in, and you're like, I hear these names of people, and it seems like they're important people, but I don't know who they are, and I don't know why. And so with our Sunday book studies, what we want to do is we want to expose you to the overall narrative and kind of give you a framework to be able to hang things on. And then the other one that we're developing is our studies on Right Now Media, which is, for those of you who don't know, we have an online Bible study platform with literally tens of thousands of Bible studies for you to be able to walk through. And what we want to do there is develop a specific path for you to walk through that exposes you to studies that focus in on doctrine and these key truths that we hold to and that we understand about who God is. And so there's a reason that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And we want to walk you through the book of John so you can see how John is sharing with you over and over again the reality that Jesus wasn't just a good guy. Like, he actually was divine and he was the Son of God. And we want for you to be able to learn that as you walk through those studies. This is, as we come to the end, I want for you to understand this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. We have so much that we're continuing to develop for us as a family so that we can continue to help each other find our way back to God. Whether this is the first day of your journey or whether you've been on this journey for years and years, what we want to do is step into each other's lives and do all that we can, to help each other to know Him more and to become more like His Son. Giving our lives for those around us. So as we come to the end of this, and I know for some of you, you've been growing. You're like, man, I want more. There is more. And if you don't know what our growth path is, you can stop by our connection points. They'll tell you where you can get a hold of that, and you can begin tracking on that with us. The ways that we're helping each other find our way back to God. But before we end, I want to take you to one more passage. And we're picking up right where we left off, but I want to show you one more thing to look at. that I think is crucial. As a matter of fact, as we come to the end, I'm glad that we're ending with this one because I think this one might be the most overlooked of all of them. Of the things that God wants to do in your life using His Word and the way that He wants to use this tool in your life, I think almost all of us miss this one. We're so focused on the do's and the don'ts and the rights and wrongs. Almost all of us miss this one. And so I'm excited to end there today. We're going to pick up right where we left off, Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 41. And as you look at the beginning of Acts, we've seen the tension that the disciples of Christ, the followers of Christ, experienced at the beginning as Jesus is like, man, this incredible thing's coming, but I want for you to wait. And then we saw the promise come, and then this miracle, they're able to speak in these different languages, and all these people are coming to know Christ. And then finally, when you get to the end of chapter 2, you see the launch of the church. Listen to what it says, Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 41. It says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Now again, as we're walking through this, we're paying attention, and for some of us, especially we're paying attention to those situations where our picture doesn't line up with the actual picture. I know for some of you, you think the beginning of the church, and you think really small. The church didn't start small, the church started huge. 3,000 people the first day. And then as we continue the passage, you're going to see that God is adding to their number every single day. I mean, this thing is big. And I know for some of us, we have that picture of the beginning of Acts, 11 guys in a closet, and then the thing starts. And then, you know, there's this small house church that's kind of, that is not the beginning of the church. That is not the book of Acts. When you look at it, you see this thing just explodes. And it's big, and it's messy, and it's crazy. It says about 3,000 in all. It says all the believers, and it begins to describe what the church looked like as it started off. It said all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And throughout the passage, you use this word fellowship. It really is this idea of journeying together and people who are really doing life together. Companionship. And you see this church launch, and finally the promise comes, and the Spirit does this amazing thing, and the church launches. And as you walk through it, you see they're coming together in these large groups in the temple, and then they're coming together in these smaller groups in homes. But again, be careful, because we read into the passage our homes, so we're thinking Hoboken apartments, we're thinking max 5 people. But remember back to the home that was talked about in chapter 1. I mean, this home had the ability to hold 120 people. So be careful with the picture that we're drawing here. But as you walk through it, you see that in some sense they're coming together in really big groups, and they're coming together in smaller groups where they're eating together and coming to know one another, encouraging one another, praying together, walking through this thing that we call the Lord's Supper, which is what we do every Sunday here. As you look around the outside and you see this opportunity to be able to go and remember what Jesus Christ has done for you. And they're coming together and they're doing this over and over and over again. And the apostles are teaching in the large group gathering. And as they get together, they're devoted to the apostles' teaching, so that they're continuing to break that down and saying, okay, what does it look like to live this out? How do we do this? How do we actually be disciples of Jesus Christ? You see the beginning of the church. And usually what happens when you come to this passage, usually what happens is that, and if you go online, you can find thousands, if not millions, of messages on this passage. Because usually what happens when you come to this passage is that you spend a lot of time talking about the importance of large group gatherings and small group gatherings. And this is, believe me, this is really important. And I don't mean to undermine it in any way, shape, or form. But usually what happens is that when we come to this passage and you see this, what we focus in on is the example to follow. Which is important. We talked about week chapter 2. You need to look for examples to follow. And for some of you, this passage is an example to follow. Because you see that the church, as they came together, they didn't just come together in large groups, but they understood the importance of being able to care for one another. They understood the importance of actually getting to know one another and sharing meals together. And so they came together, not just in the large group, but they came together in these smaller groups where they were developing relationships. As you work through the New Testament, you see that there are all these things that God is teaching them to do in each other's lives that just isn't possible in a large group. Because you're not able to know everyone. And it's great that Anthony gets up here and says, hey, say hi to the people around you. And you say hi, and maybe you meet their name, or maybe you get to know their name. But there's no way that you're actually going to be able to care for one another that way. And so you see this example that they came together in these large groups, and they also came together in these small groups where they're able to care for and kind of journey together, this idea of fellowship where they actually know each other. As you come to this passage, what we focus in on usually is the example to follow, and that's important. Even when we talk about it here at Hobook and Grace, you need to understand this is a big part of how we work. We don't just come together in this large group, but we intentionally develop, and we're constantly working to develop smaller groups where you're going to be able to come together with people who can know you and care about you. I got a letter from someone the other day. And they were talking about how they just didn't feel cared for as a part of Hoboken Grace. And whenever I get a letter like that, it disturbs me. And so the first thing that I did is the first thing I always do. And I went to our online small group database or our dinner group database. And I looked to see, like, okay, what group were they a part of? You know what I didn't find? Their name. From time to time, I'll be walking down the sidewalk and I'll run into someone who attended Hoboken Grace at one point, but they're no longer connected. And I'll begin to talk to them, and they'll say, well, you know, I haven't been in several years. And I say, what happened? And usually they'll start to share with me a loss that happened in their family, or a loss that happened at work, or I lost my job, or I went through this situation. And I'll ask them, like, what small group were you a part of? What dinner group were you a part of? And almost every time the answer is, well, I never really got to that. One of the things that you need to understand and that I need to be super clear with you about is that here at Hoboken Grace, we're not saying that this is the perfect way to do it, but when we look at the book of Acts, we see an example to follow, that we need to be in large groups, but we also need to be in small groups. We're going to be able to care for one another. So we developed this thing called dinner groups where we're able to eat together. I would love to be able to say that we eat together in our groups because of the fact that we're following the example of Acts. That's not actually true. The reason that we eat together in our groups, it's not just because we're obsessed with food either. The reason that we eat together in our groups is when we first started Hoboken Grace, we had small groups and they didn't all eat together. But we would invite people to be a part of this. But we live in this crazy busy place. You guys know this? And so we would invite people, hey, listen, come check out this small group that we have. And the response was consistently, well, I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. And so finally we said, well, when you look at the book of Acts, they all eat together and everyone has to eat. So let's have all of our groups eat together. And then we went to our friends and said, you have to eat sometime. Just come eat with us on Thursday and have this conversation with us about who God is and how God works. But again, it falls right in line with what you see happening. Here, you see this example to follow, and as you're a part of Hoboken Grace, you need to understand, I can't care for everyone who's a part of our church. I can't. I can't. I love you. I love you. And I wish I could care for everyone who's a part of our church. I wish me and Anthony and Dana and Nick that we could care for everyone who's a part of our church, but we can't. And some people say, well, no, the church is just supposed to be smaller. Someone should have told God, because he starts with 3,000 people. This thing is huge. And the idea isn't that, okay, we're going to limit the impact that we're going to have on the number of people. As a matter of fact, when you continue reading the book of Acts, you see that it comes to the point where the 12, the apostles, are like, we can't care for all these people. We have to develop other leaders. We have to put other leaders in place to be able to help that happen and to be able to divide people up into smaller groups of people where they're going to be cared for. And we're able to care for each other. And we're able to know each other. This is a crucial part of what we do here at Hoboken Grace. So much of what we're trying to do as we step into each other's lives to help each other find our way back to God happens inside of what we call dinner groups. And I can't promise you guys, I cannot promise you that as you're in a dinner group, that you're going to be cared for. I can't promise you that. We're all broken people. There's no perfect people here. There's no one who's going to be able to do that perfectly. I can't promise you that that's going to happen. But I can promise you this. If you don't get into a dinner group, you are going to struggle to be cared for here at Hoboken Grace. Because that's how we've worked to be able to help each other and care for each other. And you may say, well, I don't like that system. I understand that. I'm not saying it's a perfect system. I don't even say, and sometimes we come to this passage and we say, well, this is the way it's supposed to do. I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying this is the way we do it. To be able to help each other find their way back to God and to be able to care for each other as best as we possibly can. Love each other as best as we possibly can. I think there's an example of large group gatherings and small group gatherings. And for some of you, that's what this passage is. But then for others of you, there's something else here. And this is what we usually miss. As a matter of fact, even as I've been talking about dinner groups, for some of you, you've kind of checked out. Some of you look forward to these moments. It's when you realize I'm talking about something you already do. You're like, oh, turn off. Okay, I got this one down. I'm good to go with this one. And for some of you, that's what happened. You started to hear me talking about this. You're like, I got this. And there's this tendency inside of us of, oh, man, well, this isn't for me, so I need to move on. What's next? I think this is a huge problem. I think this is a huge problem with the way that we interact with God's Word. A huge problem. Because I think that we miss in these moments one of the most beautiful things that God wants for you to experience as you read through His Word. And for some of you, you look at that passage, and even as you read through it a month and a half ago, you're like, okay, I understand that. I kind of practiced that. And you just kind of moved on. I want to encourage you to wait. Because I think there's something amazing that God wants to do in these passages. Let me read the passage to you again. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. It says, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Guys, you know who that reminds me of? As I read through that passage, you know who that reminds me of? It reminds me of a lot of you. It reminds me of a lot of you. And you say, well, wait, I'm not selling everything that I have. As you get later in the book of Acts, you see that that's not actually the example that they give later in the book of Acts either. But you know what I know? For a lot of you, you've become unbelievably generous. And you're constantly looking to meet the needs of the people around you. And you're trying to find new and creative ways to do that. And week after week, you're coming together in large group gatherings. I mean, for goodness sakes, you're here on July 5th. And for a lot of you, you're doing exactly what you see happening in this passage. You're coming together in your dinner group, and you're trying to work to care for those around you and to be able to pray together and to work through God's Word together and say, okay, how do I live this out? You know who this reminds me of? It reminds me of you. And sometimes we come to these passages and we look at them and we say, okay, I'm doing that. And we're so obsessed with the do's and the don'ts. We're so obsessed with okay, what's next, that we just keep moving on and we keep moving on, and we miss one of the most amazing things that God wants to do through His Word in your life. And that is this. God wants to encourage you. There are moments where God wants to step into your life. And I know we don't expect it, but there are moments where God, as He's working through His Word, He wants to step into your life and say, yeah, yes, you got it. You're doing it. And there's moments where you get to be in church, right? And usually your spouse is nudging you like, hey, you need to pay attention. But this is one of those moments where for some of you, you can nudge your spouse back and be like, I do this. I may have the rest of the Bible to work on, but I do this. And to be encouraged. That man, okay, I got something right. When I was in school, we used to have this thing that we would say to each other all the time. And it was basically the only way that we talked about God, but we would step into each other's lives and we would ask each other, what is God teaching you? What's God teaching you today? What's God been teaching you this week? What do you think God's teaching you in the midst of this moment? What do you think God's teaching? And it's not a bad question. But the problem is, it was the only question that we asked each other. And it began to develop something inside of us that was unbelievably unhealthy. You see, it began to develop inside of us this picture of God as our fifth grade teacher. And I don't know what your fifth grade teacher was like, but mine was mean. And she expected the best. And there was nothing but the best. She was that teacher that you would go with any question, and she's like, look it up in the dictionary. You need to research this yourself so you remember it. And you guys had one of those teachers? And you're like, I just asked where to go to the bathroom. I don't think I can find that. But it didn't matter what it was. They're just constantly pushing you, constantly. And everything's about what you're going to learn. And you know what began happening in our lives while I was in school? We began to look at God the very same way. And we began to believe that God was just about, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? What's next? What's next? What's next? For some of you, the reason that you look at God that way is because that's the way that your dad was. Some of us, we grew up with dads that there was just, it didn't matter what we did. It didn't matter how good we did. It didn't matter how well we performed. We could have had the best performance of our lives when we walked back to Him and we expect Him to be encouraging, but instead it was like, yeah, you know, I think you could work on that. You could probably do a little better. And so you think, we think, that's how God is too. He's not. Jesus was an amazing teacher. But you know what else He believed in? He believed in rest. He believed in celebration. Believed in encouragement. How many times do you see people stepping into Jesus' life and people are like, oh, Jesus is about to teach that person. That person needs some teaching. But instead, He's like, be encouraged. Let me just encourage you. I'm not here to condemn you. I just want to encourage you. But we have this picture of who God is. And so even in the moments when God is encouraging us, we don't hear it. We block it out. And don't get me wrong here. This isn't about making much of who we are. Because the only reason any of this is possible is because of what we talked about last week and what Jesus Christ did in our lives. We come together and we carry the Lord's Supper every single week to be able to remember. It's only because of his blood that was shed for us and that his body was broken for us that any of this is happening in our lives. It's only by the grace of God that any of us are growing in any way, shape, or form. But the truth is, for some of you, the Spirit of God is working powerfully in your lives and you're obeying him and following him in ways that you never have before. And you need to stop for a second as you're working through these passages and be encouraged. In Foundations, we talk about journaling and journaling as you're reading through God's word. One of the most amazing things, if you become a journal, as you're reading through God's word, is to be able to look back. And I love it when I come across these passages, to be able to look back at passages that when you read them before, you're like, man, I need to work on this. But now you read them and you're like, wow, I'm a different person than I was then. And it's amazing. And you're able to see how God's working in your life and you're able to be encouraged and excited. And if you grew up in church, you use like a biblical word like hallelujah. If not, you use a normal word like yes, yes. Be encouraged. For some of us, we come to this passage and it's an example to follow. An example to follow so that as you move forward on the journey, this can be an encouragement to receive, to not just move on and say, well, I have to have something new to add. Now, you look for those moments where God's just coming in and saying, yeah. Yeah. And don't neglect the small ones, okay? I know for some of you, you're like, man, I guess I don't murder anybody. Yes, good. It must start. And then you build and you build and you build. The Bible tells us over and over and over again that God is the one who encourages those who are downtrodden, that God is the one who lifts up those who are weary. Don't miss those moments, guys. Let them sink in. And I know it's uncomfortable because we don't experience it with other people. So we're like, I don't know what to do as you're encouraging. I feel awkward. But let him love you in that way. You need it. You can't keep living just driven and driven and driven. God's trying to teach us this in so many ways. He introduces us to this thing called Sabbath and rest. And he's like, we're like, I don't know what to do with this. I'm supposed to just go harder and harder. And he's like, no. For some of us, it's an example. For some of us, it's encouragement. But for all of us, I want to encourage you. As you're reading through God's word, there's so much more than just the do's and the don'ts, the rights and the wrongs. The Spirit of God is alive in your life, and he wants to use this amazing, incredible tool for you to actually know God in a way that you've only dreamed of. This is just the beginning. But may you, as you take what we've talked about over the last few weeks, may you make a commitment to pick up this book and never put it back down. Not looking at where you're going to be tomorrow, but looking at where you're going to be in 20 years. To decide, no. I'm going to be committed to allowing the Spirit of God to use this tool in my life. What an incredible gift that we get to experience together. Will you pray with me? Father, as we walked through this series, and as we come to the end of it, I pray that everything that we've talked about, everything that we've seen, just in these first two chapters of the book of Acts, I mean, it's amazing how little we've walked through and how much we've seen. I pray that all of it would just ignite a passion in us for you, a passion to be able to interact with this tool and to interact with the Spirit that you said that you have placed within us as we've placed our faith in you. To actually know you. To come to these moments where our picture of you and the reality of you, they don't line up, and to be able to draw them together, to actually see you for who you are. Father, I look forward to continuing this journey together as a family, continuing to grow in our ability to know you and to become like you. In Jesus' name, amen.